Last time on The Atheists, the Bible, and No Wardrobe, we read from Genesis 42, verse 1 to Genesis 42, verse 21. Welcome to Pyramid Smart, where we put the S in syndicate. Grain is in Pyramids 11 and 13. Have a super mythical day, y'all.
Hello and welcome back to The Atheists,
the Bible,
and No Wardrobe, the podcast. Damn, this guy is just so much trouble. Of course, so is the Bible. So
trouble.
Toil and bubble.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you Joseph if you give me some wubble. I don't know.
I had got nothing.
I guess. Well, that's still more than what the Bible's got anyway.
I need a second cup of coffee for me to drop a bead or whatever it's called.
Yeah, I've actually considered
all those kids and their hippity hoppity music.
Yeah,
no,
I've
no, I actually know what that is.
But. Yeah, I've actually considered to start drinking while I'm reading this because, you know, I tell you, I was out walking around, and I was thinking about this. It's like, no wonder Christians drink so much after they've been reading this damn thing.
Well, I would say that's an okay idea, except we usually record these things in the morning. So I guess I could start drinking Bloody Marys, but
I've got some scotch around here somewhere.
I can't guarantee that I would be speaking clearly.
Well, it would still be more clearly than what the fucking Bible is. And same thing for me. I was like, I'll take a couple of drinks of scotch and scotch and soda and something like that. It's like, oh, yeah.
Well, see, you fool yourself with a Bloody Mary that it's good for you because it's got tomato juice and celery.
I tried a Bloody Mary when I was younger, and I did not like the taste. I like tomato juice, but it's like, oh God, that's terrible.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say that celery stalk didn't help it any.
I had my first Bloody Mary last fall for a football party.
Oh.
Start of the football season, and they were really nice.
Really? Maybe I just had a bad one, I guess. I don't know.
They made their own mix. Their own tomato sauce mix too, so it was really fresh and tasted really good.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Yeah. I can understand. Well, I tried Jell-O Shooters for a number of years ago, but for the first time, and I was like, I was expecting it to be tasty, and it's like, "Oh my God, this is nasty as fuck."
Welcome back to the Atheist, the Bible, and No Alcohol podcast. This is where we just talk about drinking, but we don't actually drink.
We'd rather talk about drinking than the Bible. I'd rather do anything else but talk about the Bible, but unfortunately, they didn't come to listen to us talk about anything else. They talk about the Bible.
Oh, darn it.
So.
Okay. I guess I'll do my homework. All right. Where did we leave off?
Oh, Captain? we left off at 42:21, as I recall. So we're moving on to 42:22, and Reuben the sandwich. Sorry.
Yum.
Yeah.
I want a Reuben sandwich.
Yeah, Reuben sandwiches are still good.
Mm.
And Reuben answered them, saying, "Spake unto you, saying," why did this line is so stupid. Oh, you didn't have to say it. You're just saying it twice. It says, "I spake unto you, saying." So you're just saying, you're saying it twice. It's like saying,
"One,
I have a
two, three, four commas."
Yeah.
Wow.
Saying, "Spake unto you, saying." I mean, wow. I mean,
didn't I tell you?
Yeah,
didn't I tell you? That's basically what he's saying here. Didn't I tell you this?
Yeah, I should have told you this. Yeah. Didn't I tell you that?
I did tell you this because Reuben. Yeah.
Then he continues on saying, "Do not sin against the child, and ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required."
Wow, that's an epic number of commas. That was like six in one sentence.
Damn. Comma count at...
They like them some punctuation.
And the things that you not hear is like I kind of read it like he said it in a period, but it's actually a question. It's like, and you would not hear me. It's like, I did do not sin against a child, and you would not hear, which does not mean anything. It's like I don't understand this line. It's like, but then he said now he says his blood is required. What does he mean? He just wants to bring back a thing of blood?
Okay, again, the story is pointing us all back to Joseph and his dreams. But what we're trying to say here is that Reuben's like, look, I warned you all. I warned you. I said, don't throw Joseph into the pit. Don't do anything to him. Don't kill him. And now this is happening to us. So this is superstition, folks. This is what superstition gets you. It is stupid stition. And they're thinking about him so much. I don't know why anybody hasn't recognized him. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say they think this is. They'll say that, well, this is karma. So you did this, so you get that. Well, karma is such a fucking bullshit, you know. And logical fallacy. Correlation does not equal causation.
So he's saying, yeah, this is his blood on our hands, and this is what we get for it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay. Now I get that now. It's just like, but the way they put it, it's like they should have just said, hey, you know, we shouldn't put him in the pit, but you wouldn't listen to me, man. You know, that would have been easier. It's like, but they put it in this fluffy language. Like, it's like, oh, you would not hear me. And therefore, this is what's now, look at what, behold, the blood is now required. I mean, we have to show up with our brother, otherwise he's going to kill us. And I'm like, oh, whatever.
Well, the bad stuff you do is going to come back and bite you in the butt. And while it's sometimes true that if you're stupid about stuff, you get caught, that's different than this whole karmic idea of, you know, your sins will find you out.
Right. Yeah. No, if you go driving on the railroad tracks and you know there's a train there, you're doing something stupid and you know you're doing something, that's going to come and bite you right in the ass immediately.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, moving on, 42:23, mm-hmm. and they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. Oh,
now that we have an interpreter now.
No. Joseph this whole time has been speaking Egyptian or whatever it is they speak in this story in the Bible, which this may or may not even be Egypt.
Right.
He's been using an interpreter to talk to his own brothers. So that would have been interesting information to have had at the beginning of the story.
Right. Yeah, that would have made the context of what happened in 42:8 a whole lot more clear. But now they put this in there.
Well, it's like when you're telling a joke and you get almost all the way to the punchline and you say, "Oh, I forgot to tell you this part."
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh God, please.
Yeah. Yeah, please don't. Yeah, don't. Yeah. Oh, now it makes sense. Oh, yeah. This is why this Bible is so poorly written, and this is supposed to be the words from a God. I can figure this out. I'm not a God, and I can figure out, hey, if we're going to tell this story to make it sound like he didn't know him, then, you know, put the interpreter ahead at first, you know?
Yeah, because that's actually, I got to say, that's actually an interesting point. You know, if somebody is disguised, they don't dress or look like you remember them, and he's not even speaking your language, that would mean that you probably wouldn't still be suspecting, but it's nagging the back of their minds,
right?
And I think that they don't even, but of course the Bible's not that good.
No.
So
yeah, the Bible screwed up this whole thing there. The whole sentence structure is so fucking screwed up. They could have put that, if they had put that first, then it would have made the story a little bit more, I wouldn't say, it would have been more interesting anyway.
So evidently Joseph was listening to them. He was in front of them. This is in the jail because he's there. He's been listening to them talk about himself, what they did to him.
Right. But okay. because he had them speaking with him an interpreter, he doesn't think that they know that he can speak their language.
Yeah.
So now we have a first indication that there's two different languages going on here.
Again, this almost could have been a semi-interesting story.
Yeah, almost could have been. Almost, not really, but it almost was. Mm. Fail.
Mm-hmm.
42:24, and he turned himself about from them and wept and returned to them again and communed with them and took from them Simon and brought him before their eyes.
And bound him.
I'm bound. I need new glasses. And bound him before their and bound him before their eyes. Okay, so he turns away and starts crying, and then he turns back, and then he sits there and chats with them a little bit more. Oh, we're gonna. That's what commune means. It's like we're gonna sit back and, you know, have a chat, and we're gonna talk a little while. And what would be the point? And then you don't see this most jailers. They're not gonna sit there and hang around and, you know, and chat, have a little chit chat with their prisoners. You know,
especially considering the charges they're in there on.
Exactly. You know, because if especially in this time period, if you said that someone was a spy. If you are out there hanging around and, you know, talking with them, because by now someone's gotten word back to the Pharaoh saying, hey, Joseph's caught spies. Oh, well. And then the Pharaoh walks in and he sees him communing with these spies. You know, that would be kind of bad, don't you think?
You would think.
Yeah, because he's obviously must be in on it then. He just turned him in so that he could just, like, you know, make it look good. So, but he's actually in league with them.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's a stupid thing to be doing. He shouldn't be communing with them. But then he decides, okay, well, now I'm just going to take their brother Simon, or his brother Simon, and then he binds them right in front of him, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I guess he gets to pick. They didn't get to pick who's staying. So
yeah.
42:25. Then Joseph commanded to fill the sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack and to give them provision for the way, and thus did he unto them.
So he gave him back his money, but he gave him some corn.
Yeah. So they, yes.
So, okay, so he did, so he did something kind of good here. He's like, okay, hey, I don't want your money, dude. Just here's some corn, good on your way. Just now make sure you bring back the brother now.
Well, it's actually not a good thing.
Really? Tell me.
Yeah, yeah, because they came there to buy corn, mm-hmm. and they're going to return with corn. And with their money.
Right. Oh, which, I mean, you know, so it's good for, well, I mean, it's good for, I mean, it's good for them. I mean, the fact is, you know, they're getting a hold on to their money. But he's...
I know this because I've read it before.
Okay.
Okay. I know the story because I've read it before. Because Joseph's sneaking the money into the sack. So it looks like they got the corn and then they stole it. They actually stole the money back.
You've been reading ahead.
I haven't been reading ahead, but I've read it before.
No, you're right. Numerous times. You're right. But I mean, the person like who's
I watched the Veggie Tales video of it.
Oh,
so,
okay.
It a long time ago. So
okay.
That's,
yeah. No. I think you're right because I remember
this.
If you go to the store
and you leave and you still have the check for the groceries,
right.
You didn't pay for your groceries.
Right.
That's what's happened here.
Because the language is bad. The reason why I took it like that is because it's poor. Because it says they restored every man's money into his sack. So it's like, oh, hey, dude, by the way, I'm going to give you back your money. It sounds like it's a good thing, but I mean, but the people who do know this story like you do, and I it's been a number of years that I actually talked about this, so I completely forgot about this.
We're supposed to do a flat reading.
Yeah.
You're right. Is that what it means by "and thus did he unto them"? This is what he did to them.
Right.
I guess. I don't know. I apologize for the apologizers.
Right. No, but you're right. It looks like
he's giving them all this stuff.
Right. He's like, mm-hmm. it makes it look like, hey, I'm going to give you some stuff and I'm going to give you some your money back. It's like,
right.
That's what it looks like, you know, yep. But the way it's read and the way it's written. But if he had said, hey, instead of restoring his money, he hid some money into his sack. So make it look like he, you know, and into his provisions, that would have made it more clear. Again, this Bible is not clear anytime ever.
No. 26.
Yeah, 42:26. And they laid their asses with corn. Wow. And departed thence. They laid their asses with corn.
Have you ever seen those x-ray pictures of things that doctors find up
in people's butts? Yeah. I'm just saying. It's like, put that corn in there, daddy.
I'm sorry.
That corn don't fit in there. This is definitely where they get it for the jailhouses, because you know they're hiding shit in their their pooper to get it inside their jails, so they can smuggle it in.
Oh goodness. I think we milked that joke right there. 42:27. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money, for behold, it was in the sack's mouth.
The sack's mouth. Well, the mouth of the sack, I suppose, you know. But yeah. there was a question here. It said, where did Joseph hide the money, or find the hidden money, anyway? In this one, it's 42:29-35, he says he finds it at home. But later on, which we haven't gotten to yet, in Genesis 43:21, he'll say he found it at the inn. So, another contradiction, another Bible contradiction for our listeners out there. So, if you're writing down contradictions as we're going along, I'm surprised that that you haven't been keeping track. So,
so much for perfect and inerrant.
Yes, so much for that.
And we aren't even out of the first book.
Yeah, we're not even out of the first book. There's so many contradictions just in this book alone. Wow. 42:28. And he said unto his brethren, my money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. Okay. I'm thinking dirty now. It's in my sack. Oh, that must be painful.
The family jewels. We know about that. It's in my take it out and show us, brother.
Don't show us, brother. Don't show us. Don't show us. And it has, and their heart failed them. He had a heart attack, apparently. Okay. And they were afraid, saying one to another, what is this that God hath done unto us? No, God didn't do anything to you. What the hell? God didn't do this. They went there for corn. They get corn, and then they can find their cash in the corn.
Everything that they could ascribe to actual human doing, they are ascribing to bad luck, karma, and God, and all of these invisible things.
Wow, that doesn't even make sense. It was like God couldn't have, you know, magically poofed you a sack of grain, but he's decided to poof money inside the sack. Oh, he vake a volt.
What did he do to us?
What
is me?
Oh.
Well,
this is that magical thinking again.
Yep. 42:29. And they came unto Jacob their father unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell unto them, saying. So they
broken
go
sentence.
Home.
Broken sentence.
Yeah.
It's like we got walk in the door, and it's like TV shows where they start the conversation in one place, and then they finish off the conversation doing something completely different. But for those 20, 30 minutes where, you know, the time that would have passed, there's no dialogue in between there.
I think I've found a book that has more commas in it than Twilight.
Oh Jesus Christ. That's a I'll have to trust you on that. The reason why I bring that up, because there was an episode of The Simpsons, like the guy go the Marge is like talking with this guy, and he's like, "We're gonna go," and then he goes flying, and they're in the airplane. He's like, "Wow, I'm glad you finally started talking again. It's been like 20, 30 minutes that you last spoke a word. You were." Forty-two, thirty. The man who is the Lord of the land spake roughly to us, and took us for spies of the country. He spake roughly to us. Not spoke. Spoke would have been proper. Like, but you know, we're not talking about.
I think spake is past perfect. But yeah, spoke would work here.
Yeah,
I don't. Did he?
Yeah, well, he just said that you're.
Was he rough with them? I guess he was a little rough.
Yeah, he was a little rough with them, saying he did accuse them of being spies. So,
yeah,
but then he just repeats it. It's like, and then took us for spies, unless he means they put us in jail for being spies in that instance.
Yeah, he was definitely yanking their chain.
Yeah. Now, what I don't understand here is, now did they let one go, or did they let them all go at this point?
Oh no, he kept. Remember, he kept Simon.
Yeah. He let
Elvin and Theodore go, you know, but he kept Simon there.
Okay, Elvin and Theodore have taken off, and Simon is the one.
Yeah, Elvin and Theodore and Simon.
Right, yeah.
So, he kept the smart one.
Okay, yeah, that kind of confused me there, because it said, like, he took him and they bound him, so I thought maybe they just were going to take and let him go. And, you know, they took him out of the jail, but, you know, they kind of bonded to make it look real good, you know. But that's the way I took it. But apparently they just kept, you're right, they kept him, mm-hmm. They kept Simon, the pieman, and they let the other ones go, which yep. is complete contrary to what he said he was going to do. He said he was going to let one of them go to go take the food back, and
really
then you got to come back.
Clear. Yeah, it really wasn't clear what he meant, if he was keeping one or he was keeping 11, you
right.
know, or, oh, yeah, sorry, 9. It would have been 9.
Right,
let me
9.
Count. Let me keep counting. 1, 2, 3. Okay.
Yeah. It would have kept, yeah, it wasn't really clear. It sounded like he was going to keep all of them but one, you know, like you send one for ransom or whatever, because mm-hmm. if you send them most of them back, then you got nothing to bargain with, you know, but in this instance, it looked like he did it the other way around. Okay. All right. Where did we leave off?
32. Let's see. Roughly 31.
Okay.
And we said unto him, we are true men. We are no spies.
True men. Okay. No, we're repeating what we just said. We're repeating everything that just got said. So he gets back and he has to tell the tale all over again. So get ready, everybody, for a duplicate of what we just fucking read.
All right. We should go through this fairly quickly.
Yep. 42, 32. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father, one is not, and the youngest of is this day of with our father and the land of Canaan.
42:33. And the man, the lord of the country, said unto us, hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your households, and be gone.
Okay, now it's more clear. That one was more clear. Now he's saying that, yeah, leave one brother here, and then the rest of you can take the rest. Now, the other way it sounded to me that he was going to let one go and hold the rest, but now we see that he didn't mean that at all.
Right.
Okay. I just want to be clear on that, because the language is so fucking confusing. 42:34, and bring your youngest brother unto me, then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that ye are true men, so I will deliver you your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land. Traffic in the land?
Well, spying is not okay, but drug trafficking is.
Yeah, drug trafficking is not, you know, trafficking. They're traffic. I mean, he's like giving them permission. He's like, yeah, go ahead and, you know. Because trafficking, in a modern term, it means to, you know, do something illegal. You're getting in goods for illegal good or illegal activities.
It must just mean buying and selling.
Yeah.
Or you have safe passage.
Yeah.
You know, to traffic through. I don't know.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. It just means that it's like, yeah, you have permission to. I'm granting you permission to go and do your works. I'm letting you do your jobs.
Maybe all of these duplicates of the story are meant to clarify what wasn't clear the first time.
Then why didn't they do it the first time? They should have. Then we wouldn't need to do this. Yeah. And plus, they had to repad the goddamn book. It's like, well, they're probably thinking, you know, well, we could have just fixed this. No. We're getting paid by the letter and the word here, so we need to pad this back out some more. But it will make it so much harder to read. I don't care. We're getting paid by the word.
We've got to leave them wanting more.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they can't understand it, they'll keep reading because they don't understand it and they want to understand.
Right. And if they don't want to read it, then we know that then we win. Because then if they read it and understand it, then they'll fucking figure out this is a scam.
Hey, more room in heaven for us.
Yeah.
Yep. 42:35, and it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. So
and now they discover the money is now in the sack here.
Okay, and when you went back to the inn, only one person found it, but he told the brothers, so they should already know that.
Yeah, they should have known that.
Maybe they were thinking that their dad. They were hoping that their dad would. say, oh, we'll just keep it.
Yeah, just keep the money.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know. We paid. I got a receipt and everything. 42:36. And Jacob, their father, said unto them, I thought his name was Israel.
They can't decide.
I can't. Oh, Jesus Christ. I need a scorecard here. Jacob is Israel, but he's not Israel. He's Jacob. Oh. And Jacob, their father, said unto them, me have ye brethren of my children. What?
No, bereaved.
Bereaved. Okay. Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. It's all about me, man. It's all about me. Don't stop paying attention to me. You guys would take the kid away. It's all about me. Don't worry about anybody else. You know, it's all about me.
He is a selfish bastard.
What a fucking selfish little prick.
He has been in every story about him, and yet he's one of the fathers of the faith.
Oh, Jesus.
This is awesome.
Christ. This is so horrible. This person, it puts even more of another pin in his ass about how fucking horrible this guy is. Yeah. It's like I'm still grieving over my child that's been dead for, you know, how number of years. I mean, yeah, I can understand that, but you know, get over it, dude. I mean, life goes on, and it's not all about you. But these people live in their own little centric worlds. Holy shit.
Centric tent.
Yeah. If it's outside the tent, it doesn't exist unless I say it does.
42:37, and Reuben spake unto his father, saying, slay two of my sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again.
Jesus
so
Christ.
So he says, okay, if Benjamin doesn't come back, you can kill two of my sons. Don't kill me.
Don't kill me, but you can kill my sons. That's a nice guy.
Fair and equitable.
Yeah, that's good parenting 101. If I don't come back, you can kill my kids. Okay. I suppose for the
father, God kills them all.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, the thing here is this line. It's so horrible. I mean, it's just the. It's like. You would say this if you're psychotic. It's like, well, if I don't return, you can kill my kids. You know, he's bartering, I suppose. Someone would probably say, well, no, he doesn't really want his kids dead. He's just telling them that. So this way, he's like, it's like him giving an oath saying, well, obviously, he wouldn't go and tell me to kill his kids if he wasn't going to come back. You know, it's because he obviously means that he will be back. We just have to, you know, otherwise. And he doesn't want his kids. He doesn't want his kids back or kids dead, obviously. Well, maybe he does. Maybe they're just really shitty kids.
Maybe he's a really shitty dad.
Yeah, he's a really shitty dad too.
I don't know. You don't swear by anybody else's life. You only swear by your own.
Right. No, I get that.
The most that he could do with his sons would be to say that, you know, you can treat them like slaves or something like that because of how patriarchy worked back then, but
yeah,
this is just so stupid.
Yes,
and it's interesting that he says two sons in exchange for Benjamin, because I think one of those is meant to be for Joseph.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's
I'm giving it too much credit, I guess.
Yeah, 42:38, and he said, "My son shall not go down with you." Oh, damn, kinky man, for his brother is dead. And he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way, in the way ye go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. So he's like saying, okay, if you take him, this is my last kid. You know, you guys fucked up. The last one got killed. So if you take my other youngest son, not that you guys aren't important too, because you guys are like all my sons too.
Yeah,
but this is my other favorite son. So if you take him, then I'm just gonna get even grayer because all that stress.
It's gonna kill me.
Yeah, it's all about him.
Well, and it's all about it's like he doesn't even acknowledge these other kids that he's had.
Yeah,
these are the only two kids that are worth anything. Yeah. Why do they care what this old man thinks?
Yeah, I don't know. He's not. He's not really that.
This level of favoritism is just shitty.
It is. It really is shitty. I mean, this is really bad parenting. It really is bad parenting. But anyway, we want to show you how good of a parenting that we can do by tweeting us on Twitter. By just being a, we'll respond to you. You know, we won't pick any favorites on Twitter.
Nope.
That's at twitter.com/ABANW podcast. You can also, you know, leave some of your favorite dollars for us over at patreon.com/ABANDNW. If you like the show and you would like to show us how much we're favored in your eyes, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/ABANDNW. And you can also visit our blog page. It's a log. You can visit the blog page over at abandnw.wordpress.com. You can also find the show on Stitcher, Spreaker, and on iTunes. And be sure to also email us with any questions, comments, love, or hate mail, and send it to tatbanw@gmail.com. That's tatbanw@gmail.com. Also, be sure to check out our main show, Packard Pokeset, which you can also find on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, and on YouTube. And also, please remember to leave us a 5-star rating and leave a review for us on iTunes and all those other fine locations as well. So until next time, this has been The Atheists,
The Bible,
and No Wardrobe, The Podcast.